Welcome. We would like to share with you some of our ideas about sculpting the dark forest. We were supposed to be three of us. No Good Kid is unfortunately sick. He says hi. He passed a message, which we'll share as well. So we are for a while now working on some creative projects that kind of converged into us working together on one project which we would like to share. But maybe let's start with the first one. So Bitpunk FM.
So Bitpunk FM is a cassette magazine, and I launched it here in Prague a year and a half ago. And I wanted to put the punk back in cypherpunk, because we spend so much time focusing on the cypher, the technology, and I thought we were missing the punk. And I didn't necessarily, I think when you hear punk, you have a certain aesthetic, which I don't necessarily convey, but there is a lot of values, I think, from the punk movement that I really liked. The big one being a do-it-yourself, kind of doing things yourself, lo-fi kind of attitude I really liked. And this, I think, is also a core value of ethos in cypherpunk that I think we were kind of missing. There was a talk yesterday about cypherpunks actually did a lot more hardware. I'm a kind of hardware hacker by training. And so Bitpunk FM is this cassette zine. It takes contributions from the community, noise art, articles, encoding. I encourage everybody to put their seed on cassette. This is something that I do. It's offline. It's analog. No one is going to listen to 100 cassettes to find your seed. I gave a talk here last year about that. So I'm a big advocate for the cassette medium. I think it's unironically the best music medium. And so this is how I started, and it's been releasing one a month since then.
It's also published digitally as a podcast, but
it is.
I don't want to ruin your reputation.
Yeah, for now, you can still get it digitally.
Yes. So another event that put us together was the publication of an opinion paper by the two employees of European Central Bank. Maybe you have seen that when they wrote that early Bitcoin adopters are stealing from the society because they have access to disproportionately more resources of the society than the common man, which we found very funny coming from the European Central Bank, which does this strategy 24/7. So we wanted to write a response to this. I wanted to write basically a paper that looks like scientific paper, like use tech to write it and just make it look like a boring academic paper. But I spoke with No Good Kid, who's a graphics designer, and he said it's not a good way. It needs to be cool. So we published the No Coiner Syndrome, which is the response, and it's a diagnosis and treatment manual for the condition of a No Coiner Syndrome. No Coiner Syndrome is not that someone doesn't have any Bitcoin. It's perfectly fine. It's not for everyone. 99% of people don't have any coins. It's the syndrome when you are inventing coping mechanisms in your head on why you didn't buy Bitcoin when you clearly knew about it very early on, and now you have to invent stuff like it's warming the oceans and all the other bullshit. So if you know anyone who has this very serious condition, there's a treatment manual. What I like about the text, which a few of you helped with who are here, is that if you read it the first time, it is, I think, a little bit entertaining and funny, but you can also take it literally, and it is also literally true. So you can you get kind of this two-in-one. If you want the copy, it's either online or I have a few copies here as well. So we were doing this finding of aesthetics and also interacting a lot with Josh. And both Josh and No Good Kid at the same time told me that we should do a cypherpunk zine. So this is what we did. You can use this tool. And okay, so.
So this is Welcome to the Dark Forest. Do you not know where the Dark Forest is? We have a map. and this is the physical map to the dark forest. And there was this project in 1960s US called Aspen Magazine. It was a really kind of avant-garde kind of art project where they would, it was a magazine, it was, they billed it as the world's first 3D magazine. So what you got was a box. And quite a lot of famous people like edited and made this kind of box. So one box was made by Andy Warhol, and in it were like crazy paintings. There was articles about how LSD can help you like lose weight. And it was all these kind of like super interesting things, like all mixed together in a box. Another one was edited for the media philosopher Marshall McLuhan. It also had a lot of flexi discs. It had Super 8 film, all this kind of crazy things. So this zine is being released here on this physical forest here out of paper, but the concept for it is kind of inspired by this Aspen magazine. So it'll in future editions, it may not look exactly like a physical format, but it's very much going to be in this thing. And, you know, like, why a zine? So zines are, I think, making quite a popular comeback. And I mentioned Marshall McLuhan. His big phrase, which everybody probably has heard, is the medium is the message. And he goes as far to say the content doesn't matter. It is the medium. So everybody here in this room listening to us now will have a different feeling, a different experience than if you saw the recording. And so that, for him, was the biggest thing. And sometimes, also according to McLuhan, you have to be outside the environment to know what you're in it. So by having this kind of more analog type zine, it allows us to kind of look inside.
Yes, so the medium is that it is made of heavy paper, so a real piece of forest. It is very dark, as you can see. We can pass it around. You can have a look at it. But where we are heading with this is that you all heard that the cypherpunks write code. And it's important, code is a piece of art, but there are many other kinds of art. I would consider, for example, this place, also a piece of art. It's kind of tried to sculpt the cypherpunk, visuals, the feel, you know, the black painted walls and, many other things. So the building can be a piece of cypherpunk art. Another thing that is a piece of art that you all experience here is our lives. Like, if you are a cypherpunk, you have a certain lifestyle. You made certain life choices. Maybe you're unemployable. Maybe you do some things differently than other people, and that also shapes the culture. If you look at some related subcultures, such as a hacker culture, you have these zines. You have like a Frag magazine, which is a text file with ASCII art and a special style, and you can recognize it. You look at it and you see, okay, so this is a hacker magazine. You have, let's say, if we go to fiction, you have cyberpunk. So cyberpunk has this low-life hero, basically homeless, that stumbled upon some kind of technology in a world dominated by corporations. And it's its own thing. You can deviate from it, but you can clearly recognize, okay, this is a cyberpunk novel. So what we want to try is to kind of look into what cypherpunk means, or lunarpunk, because it's its own thing. It's not like we have many things common with like hacker culture, but it's also different. You know, the hacker culture is not so much into cryptocurrencies, for example, and hacker culture drafted the GDPR. So we are trying to discover what it means what cypherpunk, what lunarpunk means in other art forms. So it's in cassettes and in music, in sounds, maybe some fiction, maybe some zine, and so on. So it is visually very distinct, And let's see. Okay.
Yeah. And so one of the art types that I think has been missing from the cypherpunk movement is poetry. And so I want to make a pitch for poetry. And not, I am new to poetry. Not 1 year ago, I would have said, like, what the fuck is this guy talking about? I was not into poetry. But I have since discovered this. And I think it is the quickest way to transport you to the dark forest. And the two poems that we selected for this zine, I think you'll get the idea. So the owl is like in the dark forest, the owl is king, right? It is a creature of the night. It can blend in. It has natural obfuscation. It's natural steganography. It has this nice way to blend in. It is essentially nature's drone. Owls can hover before they will attack mice in the field, just like a drone can, and they're extremely lethal. But otherwise, they are hidden in the forest. And so there is a haiku that I wrote. And what's nice about haiku is that you only have to listen to 17 syllables. And so I picked these ones intentionally. So, ink whispers secrets, fading, resisting decay, owl becomes the tree. And so this was originally, when I originally wrote this, it was actually for a thing on invisible ink. So you actually had to use a UV light to read the haiku. But I think this is a nice image for the dark forest and using the owl's inspiration. The second one, it's also short, is I wrote actually after the talk here just last year. So last year was the last HCPP, Paralympic Polis. I had a great time, as why I'm back. But I actually, so I wrote this poem as being inspired from my experience here last year. And so the thing you should know that I'm from Colorado. In Colorado, we have aspen trees. Aspen trees are some of the world's largest organisms. There's no single aspen tree. The aspen tree connects down into the dirt, and they're all interconnected through a very big root system. And some aspen groves can be kilometers kind of big. They're quite big. So it's a very kind of neat, inspiring image to me. And so this is where this poem came from. Leaves glisten from hushed wind, an aspen grove interlinked underground, a Paralympic Polis. Roots shouting, laughing, expanding, braiding your secrets in the soil. And so, yeah, so this is the pitch for poetry. Thank you.
You? So if you know a little bit about my work, you know I'm on the other side of the writing spectrum. So if it doesn't have 400 pages, it's not good enough. So there's also quite a long rant from me. You can picture me as an old guy rambling about the rules and different kinds of rules. Seen my talk yesterday, it was about this concept of the digital mountains. So I played it in a different way here. I rant about where the rules come from and how they are discovered, if they are needed, and the name of this edition or number zero zine is "There Were Never Any Real Rules." So that's what I'll try to convince you about. But you can read it. I'm not gonna go into the content, but there's one part that talks about the oral traditions and how they are very important because they can be adapted to the current situation and so on. So it's quite interesting because we write it down, and but it's also a rant. You know, it's not like when people quote Satoshi these days, and it's like this canonical text, or Satoshi posted on this date on Bitcoin Talk forum, and that's basically, you know, gospel. So this is a rant. This is like a really old guy rambling, and you can. It's basically a story, and it doesn't even make sense to quote it. It's just invoking some kind of idea, and you can take parts of it. There are some stories and rants from other people that I included. So. Check it out. This edition number 0 is a value for volume production, so you can get it here. And there's a QR code. If you find any value from it, you can scan the QR code with a Lightning wallet and send however you think how valuable it is for you. We did not have time to make a very cool website. In fact, we made it sort of 30 minutes ago.
Yes.
But we have an Ostra account. So if you go to this website, you will find our Ostra account where we will post about Zine number 1. I don't know. Do you have anything to add? Or
it's a lightning talk. So we kept it short so we can inspire you to... about this project. So thank you so much for your time. And thank
come
you.
Find us. We have the zines with us. Thank you. Nice.